Family Theater presents Dorothy Warrenshould and Regis Toomey. From Hollywood, the Mutual Network, in cooperation with Family Theater, presents Uncle Jim, starring Dorothy Warrenshould. And now, here is your host, Regis Toomey.
Thank you, Tony Lafrano. Family Theater's only purpose is to bring to everyone's attention a practice that must become an important part of our lives if we are to win peace for ourselves, peace for our families, and peace for the world. Family Theater urges you to pray. Pray together as a family.
And now to our transcribed drama, Uncle Jim, starring Dorothy Warrenshould as Caroline.
Miss Carolyn, come in.
Oh, hello, Hannah.
It's good to see you.
God, it's good to be back, Hannah.
You look tired. Didn't you enjoy your trip?
Oh, it was all right. At least it got me away from things for a while.
I know. Why don't you go into the drawing room, Miss Carolyn? I'm fixing some lunch for you and Mr. Wilkinson.
Was he here yet?
On his way. He just phoned from his office.
I don't think I'll ever be able to see this room again as it really is.
Well, that's just the scent of the flowers, Miss Carolyn. I've tried to air it out, but you can still smell them.
There were a lot of flowers, weren't there?
Your Uncle Jim had a lot of friends.
Hannah, don't cry. I'm sorry. It's just that I miss him so. We both miss him, don't we?
But you'll stay on now, won't you?
Well, perhaps we'd better wait and see who this house belongs to before I make any promises.
Oh, sure, Miss Carolyn. You're his only living relative. Who else did he leave it to?
No, I suppose you're right.
You're going to be a wealthy woman. Mind if you aren't. Oh, that must be Mr. Wilkinson.
I'll get it, Hannah.
All right. Lunch will be ready in a few minutes.
Carolyn, how are you?
Oh, just fine, Ed. And you?
Oh, I'm getting along. Oh, my, looks as if that vacation agreed with you. You've got a good time.
Well, I should have. I sat on the beach most of the time.
And looked at the sea and thought about life.
Yes, I guess I did a little of that, too. Here, let me take your briefcase.
No, thank you. I'm going to need it right now. Let's sit down here and get the legalities over with.
Can't you just tell me what's in the will?
Yeah, I can. Oh, meet any young men while you were away?
Oh, a few.
Anyone in particular?
Now, what's that question supposed to mean?
You know. Anyone you took a shine to?
No.
Oh, my, that's a pity. I understand Bill Keeley thought you were great stuff.
Well, now, just which one of your spies turned up that little item?
I happened to have lunch with his father over in Lockport yesterday. You know, you ought to keep that alive. Bill's a fine boy.
I'd hardly call him that. He's 34.
Oh, vital statistics. What's his favorite color?
I don't know. I care less.
Karen, what's the trouble? What's holding you back? You've had your share of admirers.
You mean Jim Franklin's niece has had her share of admirers.
Oh, that's nonsense.
It's happened too much, Ed. Is Carolyn Barker, I go somewhere and I'm left strictly alone. That is, until I run into someone who knows or knew Uncle Jim. At which point my admirers appear, romantically sniffing the fresh, clean odor of greenbacks.
Do you honestly think that's what Bill Keeley liked about you? Jim's money?
Well, I'm just telling you how it happens. How it always happens.
Well, at least this document puts an end to that phase of your life.
What do you mean?
From now on, it won't be your uncle's money the gigolos are after. It'll be your own.
He left it all to me?
Except for a few thousand to his housekeeper, Hannah. And even though this is your place now, Hannah comes with it. A guaranteed lifetime job.
Well, I wouldn't think of doing it any other way.
And also there's a lot of technical gibberish here, which, translated roughly, means that this isn't the complete will. There are additional codicils.
Where?
In a safety deposit vault downtown.
Well, shouldn't they be included in this?
Well, I'll be frank with you, Carolyn. I don't know what kind of hocus-pocus Jim was up to when he made this will. I drew up this portion of it, and it's legally airtight. It provides certain conditions you have to meet, and it mentions the codicils. Designates the location of the safety deposit box. Now, I've never seen them. I don't know what they provide.
Well, I suppose we ought to go get them.
Not for 3 months. That's one of the conditions. There's two of them. Two separate sealed documents. You open the first in 3 months. The second in 6 months. Don't ask me what they're all about. I don't know.
This doesn't sound much like Uncle Jim.
Well, he must have had something in mind. As I said, it's legal. And you have to go along with it.
You said there was more than one condition.
Two more. But very simple. You have to reside here in the house for the next year.
Oh, I expect to stay on longer than that.
And every other Saturday night, starting this coming one, you are to have at least 10 guests for dinner.
What?
No less than half of whom must be unmarried men below the age of 40.
Well, that's the most preposterous thing I ever heard of. I won't do it. Uncle Jim wouldn't expect
me. He wrote the will.
I won't do it.
And for every Saturday you skip, $5,000 of the estate goes to a worthy charity that I shall designate.
I don't believe it.
Well, read the writing right here, you see. See, that $5,000 to whatever charitable organization my attorney, Edward J. Wilkinson, shall deem deserving.
Ed, why? Why would he do this? It's a cruel, cruel joke. He knew how I felt.
Maybe that's exactly why he did it. Because he knew how you felt.
I don't care if it soaks up every nickel he left me. I will not, not go fishing for a husband.
It's a very good dinner, Carolyn.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yes, all in all, it's quite a successful evening. So far.
Except for the Red Cross.
Yeah. You know, that would have been deductible.
Well, then consider it deducted. I sent them a check.
You sent them? You softy.
But only for $500.
Say, I didn't know young Keeley could play the organ so well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, who's the blonde he brought?
No, I haven't the faintest idea. Her name is Muriel Weber, and her father's president of the Lockport Federal Savings and Loan. She's 26, and that's a bleach job.
Oh, I see. Well, if you ever pick up anything specific on her, let me know.
You notice how she hangs on him like a vine?
No, I hadn't.
Like a vine.
Oh, then I suppose you've also noticed that he keeps looking over at you like a hawk?
No, I hadn't.
Well, I could be wrong.
What do you mean wrong? He's been staring at...
Oh, I thought you hadn't noticed.
Very funny.
Yes, well, since he is staring, and he is, let's go over and hum a few bars of that Porter thing.
It isn't a Porter thing. It's a Kern thing.
Well, I knew it was from the Connecticut Yankee.
Not from the Connecticut Yankee, either.
And take my word for it, when the song's familiar and I don't know the title, it's always from the Connecticut Yankee.
Ed, all this chatter is designed to paralyze me, and I will not...
You'd scare the fish.
Hi, Carolyn.
Bill.
Mr. Wilkinson?
Ed. Yes, at parties I'm always called Ed, especially after 9:30. Miss Weber, I'm strictly a dancing man. Not a word. Now, follow me once around the floor.
Say, I could use a little of that medicine.
They smile, they nod, they acquiesce, all silently. Note that, William, all silently.
Great. What's the secret?
Legal mind. Say, how about something from the Connecticut Yankee?
All right. Well, let's see.
I thought that was from the showboat.
Dance and rest your legal mind.
Fair enough. Miss Weber, I'll lead if you don't mind.
I was just thinking.
Yes?
There was someone else here who played the organ. You and I could dance, too.
Mm-hmm. What do you do for a living?
Well, hello, new subject. Why, I sell insurance. You want some insurance?
No, I know I've got some.
You want to go swimming tomorrow?
With you?
What's wrong with me? I can swim.
Do you sell much insurance?
As much as they'll buy. Let's go swimming tomorrow. I'll bring the hot dogs.
Well, all right. How can you talk and play the organ at the same time?
It's a trick I worked out. Division of labor. You like the song?
Oh, I love it.
It's a good song. It tells the truth.
Ah, there we are. 3 months. First codicil. Rip it open. I'm a witness. Oh, Mama, I don't have to tear your hands off.
I'm just interested.
Well. What's it say?
This is ridiculous.
It is? Well, what is it?
Well, I don't believe Uncle Jim made this thing.
It's in his hand.
It isn't like him.
Well, what's it say?
I have to keep a diary for the next 3 months.
Until we open the last envelope, huh?
No, I guess that's the idea. Well, now, I'm just not going to do the rest of this.
No? Such as what?
Make a list of all the men I'm going out with. Names, dates, locations.
Well, that ought to be a cinch. Just put down Bill Keeley every night. Any place.
Oh, I don't go out with him every night.
Yeah, very well. Write your own diary.
Now, this last part is really too much.
Huh?
I must present the diary to you at the end of the 3 month period for verification of the facts.
It promises to be very interesting.
I won't do
it. Why not? You're in love with Bill, aren't you?
Well, what's that got to do with it?
Have you promised to marry him?
No.
Still counting your nickels, eh?
Ed, I don't know what to do.
About Bill?
Well, I want to believe everything he tells me so much, and yet I don't dare.
Does he think you're in love with him?
No, he knows I am.
And he says he's in love with you?
Yes.
Then why don't you believe him? He believes you.
I don't know. You're a lawyer. What's my next move?
Well, you've only got one.
Yes?
Keep the diary.
Dear Diary, it's almost 2 a.m, and I can hardly keep my eyes open, but I have to tell you what happened at the Halloween dance tonight. Bill was late picking me up, so we didn't get to the club until after 9:30. The ballroom was mobbed. Everyone was wearing crazy costumes and false faces, so I didn't have the faintest idea who the couple was that came up to our table until the man opened his mouth.
Yes, you guys. I thought you'd never get here, Cinderella.
Ed, is that you?
It is not. It's Humpty Dumpty.
And you make a great one.
Well, I wish, Mr. Keeter, that I could say the same of your Mickey Mouse.
Well, what's wrong?
One of your ears is at half-mast.
Oh, good grief. There, how's that? Any better?
Middling.
Ed, aren't you going to introduce us to Martha Washington?
Oh, yes, excuse me.
I was going to guess Betsy Ross.
And Mrs. Garfield, Carolyn Morgan.
How do you do, Miss Morgan?
And I think you know Mr. Keeley?
Indeed, I do. How are you, Bill?
Why, quite well, thank you, Mrs. Garfield.
I suppose you know Evelyn's here tonight.
Why, no,
table, just to the right of the orchestra. Marie Antoinette.
She looks lovely.
Miss Morgan.
Hmm?
Yeah, my dance, I believe.
Well, Ed.
Come on. You might as well get it over with.
Now, don't hog her all night.
William, you're being offensive. I leave you in good hands, Mrs. G.
Indeed you do.
Would you like to dance, Mrs. Garfield?
Don't be silly. Come on over to our table, Bill. Evelyn's dying to see you.
Ed?
Yeah, I can't smile. I just keep time with the music.
Who is that woman?
A client. I couldn't help it.
And who is Evelyn?
Her daughter.
She's a knockout.
Oh, that's just the wig. She's only fair.
She's ravishing.
Smile. You're being watched.
Ed, what's the big idea?
If you'll stop snarling, I'll tell you. Mrs. Garfield is a client of mine. Some years ago, about 10 to be exact.
Look.
What?
Bill, in that white wig. They're dancing.
Yeah, which is more than anyone could say of us. Carol, do you know what's behind the idea of hiring an orchestra for these affairs?
What?
It's to provide, among other things, a tempo to which the dancers should synchronously move their feet.
Who is Evelyn?
She used to be engaged to Bill a long time ago. No, Carolyn.
Well, what happened?
You stepped on my foot.
No, I mean with Bill and her.
I accept your apology. I don't know, just didn't go through.
Was he in love with her?
People don't usually get engaged in spite of each other.
Well, he never mentioned her to me. I've never even heard of her.
Oh, you wouldn't. She lives in New Rochelle. She's a buyer for some department store in New York.
Where's her husband?
She hasn't got one.
Well, what's she doing here? She ought to go home.
Well, I...
Look at them.
Huh?
Like they've been dancing together for a million years.
I know how they feel.
Is she rich?
Not like you, honey.
Oh, Ed, that wasn't a very nice thing to say.
It's what you wanted to know, isn't it?
It is not what I wanted to know.
Oh, come on, now clap for the music. Clap for the music.
I wish you hadn't said that.
Well, I wish you hadn't asked me. Ah, well, here comes Mickey Mouse.
What?
I'd say he dropped her pretty fast.
Carolyn.
You trying to fob me off on Mrs. Garfield again?
It's her daughter. She says you've got the next dance.
Oh, me. The trials of bachelorhood. Well, a client's a client, so have fun, children.
Oh, that's part of the plan. Let's sit down, honey. I want to ask you something.
Bill.
No, I'll do the talking. This is very important. Your chair, madame.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Now, to begin with, I had it in mind...
Bill.
Let me finish. I had it in mind to apologize to you for having the first dance with with an old girlfriend.
I know all about her.
Then we can save some time. Will you marry me?
What?
I was engaged to Evelyn 10 years ago.
I know all about it.
Well, then, maybe you know that a thing like that doesn't get out of your system, just 1, 2, 3.
I've never been engaged.
Well, I have.
Did she jilt you?
I don't even know what that word means.
Did she break it off?
Uncle Sam broke it off. I got drafted.
Oh, 3 cheers for the red, white, and blue.
Look, I'm trying to tell you something. I used to think I was in love with that girl.
But General Hershey changed your mind.
Will you let me finish? I used to think I was in love with her.
Maybe you were in love with her.
Well, maybe I was in love with her, but not now. I'm not in love with her now. I'm grateful she's here tonight.
I'll bet you are.
Carolyn, I'm trying to propose to you, and we're having a fight. What is this?
You must have done a lot of dancing together.
Yes.
But now her two-step's a little rusty.
It's a foxtrot, and it's not rusty. Will you let me say this, please?
Everybody's looking at us.
If I get my way, they'll be looking at us for the rest of our lives.
It's Halloween, all right. All the ghosts are out.
All I wanted to tell you was, it's a relief to find out you can't be in love with 2 women at the same time.
You can't?
You can't. Will you marry me, Carol?
I want to think it over, Bill.
All right.
I want to think it over with... Well, without being rushed.
Well, does that mean we stop seeing each other until you make up your mind?
Oh, no, it... Well, of course not. I just want some time.
Like, how much?
Well, a month. Maybe even 2 months. Is that too long to wait?
No, but I'd like it a little more definite. How about... Christmas Eve.
All right.
You ought to know by then.
So that's it, Diary. That's how it happened tonight. And now I've got to make up my mind. Even though my heart's already made up. I just wish one thing, though. I wish Ed hadn't told me I was richer than Evelyn. Bill, I've made an important discovery.
Well, let's have it.
Winter is the prettiest time of the year.
Also the coldest.
Especially at night. Look, all those different colored tree lights in the windows. Far down the street as you can see.
I can't see past these packages I'm carrying. Describe the view.
Well, it's Christmas Eve. We're trudging north on Maple Street.
In one of the nicer residential sections of town?
I'll do the talking,
please. 1,000 pardons.
North on Maple, every bush and tree is covered with a soft, white mantle of new-fallen snow.
No little of which is freezing the Keeley feet.
The Keeley feet should be wearing overshoes.
Oh, never touch them. They make me walk pigeon-toed. We'll continue with the guided tour.
Too late. End of the line.
The Carolyn Morgan mansion. No relation to the banker.
Miss Morgan herself swings open the heavy iron gates.
And us pack animals fall in behind and follow her up the stately colonial structure.
Its windows ablaze with light.
The snow glistening on the walk.
Bill, look out.
Grab me, I'm slipping.
I can't.
Look out below.
Are you happy in your new snowdrift?
That's what I need. Sympathy.
See, what's going on out here, children?
Oh, hello, Ed. Just a little Yuletide frolic.
Oh, fine thing, Carolyn. You invite me over to your house to wait up for Santa Claus, and I have to do it single-handed.
We had some last-minute shopping to do, Ed.
And I've just settled down in the snow for a long winter's nap.
Here, Bill. Give me a hand, boy.
Thank you, Mr. Wilkins.
Let's get him inside before he freezes solid.
Well, you go ahead, Bill. I've got the packages.
This is more like it. Crackling log on the hearth.
Lights on the tree.
And mistletoe hanging over the... Bill, look who's under the mistletoe.
Stand still, young lady.
Bill, don't.
Be quiet.
Bill.
Honey, will you open my present now?
Maybe we should wait.
Got it right here in my pocket. Been wanting to give it to you all day.
Bill, I know what it's going to be. And
here. I didn't even wrap the box.
Oh, Bill...
Not the most beautiful ring in the world, but will you wear it, Carol? I'm asking you to be my wife.
I know.
If you'll excuse me, I told Hannah to put a pot of cocoa on the stove.
Well, you don't have to go, Ed. There's nothing very private about this. I can't take your ring, Bill. I'm sorry.
You won't marry me.
I can't take your ring. I think that covers it.
Well, not for me, it doesn't. Are you trying to tell me there's someone else?
I'm not trying to tell you anything except that I can't take your ring.
Well, then there isn't anyone else. I didn't think so.
You're pretty sure of yourself.
I'm sure I've been in love with you for the last 6 months.
Well, that's just what I don't realize.
What?
I don't know whether it's me you love or my house or my money or what.
Your money?
Well, now tell me that you've never given my money a single thought.
Well, of course I have. I've thought what a lot I'm asking to expect a rich girl to live on my salary. That's what I've thought. And I've thought about it plenty.
I wish I could believe you.
Well, I've got the figures to prove it, but you'll never see them.
Bill.
A whole year's budget worked out to the dollar.
Well, why didn't you tell me?
You'd think it was a phony. You think everything's a phony.
It's not true.
You and your big bankroll. You're not in love. You don't love anything that doesn't bear interest.
I didn't ask to be rich. Uncle Jim left me the money.
Yeah, well, you just hang on tight to every penny of it, Carol. That way you'll never get tricked into being happy.
Bill.
And someday when you start running out of that green stuff, you just give me a call.
Bill, come back here.
What?
I think I've heard enough evidence. Come on back here.
Ed, will you stay out of this?
Sorry, I'm legally bound not to.
What's this evidence talk?
You'll see in a minute.
Legally bound not
stay
to what?
Stay out of this. In fact, I'm in it up to my neck. Or rather, your neck.
Will you say what you mean?
Happy to.
I came back to tell you I'm leaving. I'll take no for an answer. Goodbye.
Bill, wait a minute.
I love you. I think we can have a life together, but I don't like the way you think.
Hold on now. This concerns you both.
What concerns us both?
This last codicil to the will. Today was the day. I couldn't run you down on the phone, so I went to the bank and got it myself.
Ed, I won't have it.
I'm sorry, Carolyn, but...
I won't have you reading anything so private in front of Bill.
It concerns Bill.
It can't possibly concern him. And for that reason, I will not. Not. Not.
Shut up.
Precisely. And while I'm at it, Mr. Keeley...
You'd better listen to this, both of you. It's meant for both of you.
Well, that's ridiculous. How could Uncle Jim have known about Bill?
He didn't, but he assumed there would be a Bill, and he left the rest of it up to me.
The rest of what?
Interpreting this last codicil, for example, and reading the diary.
Oh, you will never read it.
I already have while you were out. It took some looking, but I found it.
Get out of my house!
It isn't your house. Not anymore, Carolyn. It's Bill's.
Oh, you're insane.
Bill's? You mean mine?
Yes, yours. I quote from the last codicil. Right here. I should read the last... Now, here. When it shall become apparent to my attorney, Mr. Wilkinson, that my niece, Carolyn, has genuinely, finally, and in fact, settled her affections upon any young man and is dissuaded from marrying him because of such doubts as she may have concerning the sincerity of his proposal, then I instruct Mr. Wilkinson to transfer title of all my earthly possession to the young man in question.
To the what?
Now, what does that mean?
Put simply, Bill, it means that if Carolyn doesn't accept your proposal, you will come into an estate amounting to over $800,000.
You mean if he doesn't marry me, he gets rich?
On your money.
And if I do marry her?
The money goes into a trust fund, and each of your children get a share of it when they're 35.
God, this is impossible.
It's as legal as the Bill of Rights.
Oh, I love it.
This is the very best. This is really Christmas Eve.
Bill, you wouldn't.
Oh, why wouldn't I?
You said you loved me.
Oh, is that what I said?
You said it in front of Ed. He's a witness.
All right. Maybe I do love you.
Of course you do.
But how do I know you don't want to marry me just for my money?
It's my money.
No, not anymore. It's mine. You heard the man. All I have to do is stay single, and I'm rich.
But you said you loved me. You said you wanted me to be your wife.
Well, maybe I do, but let's face it, all that money. Look what I'm giving up.
I would have married you, really.
Well, it's easy for you to say that now. But this way, it costs me, how much?
You said you loved me. That's what you said, isn't it?
Sure. You said you loved me.
Well, I do.
Then, will you put on my ring, Carol?
Bill.
And marry me?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Now, does this prove what you wanted to find out?
There's just one more thing, Bill.
Yes?
Will you step over here? Under the mistletoe?
This is Regis Toomey again. Have you ever stopped to think about all the organization and cooperation that is necessary to put on a good TV, movie, or radio production? Certainly there is more to it than what you merely see on the screen or hear from the speaker. Not only are there actors, directors, and producers, but behind the scenes are skilled technicians operating highly complex instruments. Manufacturers and dealers who see to it that these instruments are produced and made available to you, the listening public. All these men and many more work together to produce the finished product. Their purpose can only be achieved in one way. Everyone, from the highest executive to the least assistant, must work together as members of a team, as members of a family. And if this is so true in regard to the production of a TV, movie, or radio program, so that its purpose might be fulfilled, is it not even more true with regard to the family of today, to your family? How can your family fulfill its purpose? How can all the members increase their love of Christ and their devotion to His Blessed Mother, unless there is a real harmony and cooperation among them? There is really one answer only, prayer. For the family that prays together stays together.
More things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. From Hollywood, Family Theater has brought you transcribed Uncle Jim, starring Dorothy Warren Scholl. Regis Toomey was your host. Others in our cast were Howard Culver, Joan Banks, and Howard McNear. The script was written for Family Theater by John T. Kelly and directed by Robert Hugh O'Sullivan, with music composed and conducted by Harry Zimmerman. This series of Family Theater broadcasts is made possible by the thousands of you who feel the need for this type of program, by the Mutual Network, which has responded to this need, and by the hundreds of stars of stage, screen, and radio who give so unselfishly of their time and talent to appear on our Family Theater stage. To them and to you, our humble thanks. This is Tony Lafrano expressing the wish of Family Theater that the blessing of God may be upon you and your home, and inviting you to be with us next week when Family Theater will present Mail Order Mrs., starring Walter Brennan. Elizabeth Scott will be your hostess. Join us, won't you? Family Theater is broadcast throughout the world and originates in the Hollywood studios of the world's largest network. This is Mutual, the radio network for all America.